chapter 15, and we're going to read a story that Jesus told, and we're just going to talk about it a bit. It's really got my attention recently, this story, and there are things in it, I think, which are for all of us. When you kind of read it on a kind of fairly kind of cursory glance or superficial level, it seems quite focused in on a particular individual. But I think there's something here for all of us. And what I'd like to try and do is just point to something really of the Father heart of God. The Father heart of God, I find, softens our hearts when we see what God is like. Isn't it? Hi, Lee. And it's just real and impacting, and we need it to be so. When we see and understand something of God and who he is so attractive to us. And I love it. So we're going to read this story. And before, in this chapter 15 of Luke, before we get to the story, and it's called the story of the prodigal son, I think we could come up with a better title myself, but it's known, well-known story. And so as we read it, because it's a well-known story, don't let that put you to sleep for the story, but focus in on it. It's full and it's rich. And before we get to this story, in the same chapter, we begin to get this opening up of something of God's heart. And then it gets into this story of the prodigal son. And we're reading other little parables, little insights. And this is Jesus teaching and pointing to things. And right at the beginning of this chapter, I love this bit. This gives us insight into Jesus because of that, obviously, God and God's heart. And it says this right at the beginning. Now, all the tax collectors, all the rejected of society, they were. Now, all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Yes, doesn't he? You and me. Access to Jesus. And so here we are right at the beginning of this chapter. And then Jesus starts to tell these stories. And he's communicating something of God's heart. And he talks about this lost sheep initially. We're not going to stay in these bits, but I just want to bring this out for us a little bit. And he's talking again about this famous parable, this famous story, and he's using farmers, great, agriculture, and sheep. And he's talking, and he's making this point, and he's saying, if one of you have got 100 sheep, and one of them, just one of them, goes astray, goes missing, goes off, would you not leave the rest of them, if you like, safely in the pasture here, leave them all together, and would you not go after that one and find them and rescue them and bring them back? And again, he's building and he's making this point. And he says, at the end of that little bit, he says, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, who turns, one person who turns to God, than over 99 righteous persons," or we could say self-righteous persons, "who need no repentance." And then he talks about this story of this lost coin, and it's the same kind of idea. And this lady, she's lost a coin. And so she sweeps the house and she looks carefully until she finds. And she doesn't give up until she finds, but she finds the coin. And again, it's this same idea, this same heart, that in this kind of a way, it begins to express something of the Father heart of God, that he looks and he seeks and he goes after the one. And it's wonderful to me. And so you kind of get that beginning place. And then we're going to read down through this story of the prodigal son. And we're going to read it all. Enjoy it. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. And he says this. A man had two sons. So you've got a father, you've got an older son, and you've got a younger son. Excuse me for stating the obvious. He said, a man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. Give me my inheritance. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And so he got up and came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again, and he was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and to rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. It's a powerful story, I think. And again, you find in this, I think, so much communicated, really, of the father heart of God. And I want to highlight this for us this morning, because as we begin to appreciate and understand God's father heart for us, it changes us in our response to God. It makes it easy for us to respond to God, because we see who he is. We see his heart after us, and we see different insights, different aspects of different people in this story. And again, famously, you see this account of this younger son. And it's fascinating, I think, when you read the Bible and then you see things, or rather you expect to see things that aren't there. Information that you think would have been there in the moment, but you're not reading about it. But you see this younger son, he comes and he asks for his inheritance. And the next bit in the story is the father gives him his inheritance. You'd think there was a bit of the dialogue going on there in the build-up to whether or not he gets in his inheritance. But the response of the father was that he gave him his inheritance. And so he received his inheritance, and then very soon after receiving his share, if you like, what he thought was his share, he then moves out. There's like a bit of a gap. He receives from his father, and then it says shortly afterwards, he moves out, and he goes to a distance. He goes to a far country. He puts distance between himself and his father. And he goes off, and he's got a plan, I guess, going on in the back of his mind. And he's thinking he's going to have a good time. He moves out, he moves away, and he creates distance. And what he does, if you like, he decides he's going to go to Ibiza and party hard for a while. And he does. And that's just kind of like he lives in hotels, and he parties all the time, and he maybe takes drugs, and he's paying for girls, and he's living a life that he thinks is going to satisfy him, that he thinks is going to be, I don't know, kind of, satisfying, a joy to him, and he decides, I'm going to live that kind of a life, and he spends everything that he has been given to achieve that which will destroy him. Incredible. Incredible. So he goes off, parties hard, but then he loses, through doing this, he loses everything that he had gained. Everything that he had received from the Father, he lost it all in his pursuit of these other things. And so in that moment, having lost everything, he's got no money, he's got no friends probably at this point, he's got nowhere to go, he's got no help, he's got no food. It's desperate, really. And so he goes and looks for a job on a farm. And some kindly farmer lets him feed his pigs. And so he's doing this. And he's feeding his pigs, but he's still hungry. He's eating the scraps of food that have been given for the pigs, and he's got nothing else. And in that moment, the Bible says, the fella comes to his senses. Sometimes it takes that in life, to come to our senses, and God uses the moment. And he comes to his senses, this young guy, and then he remembers, if you like. He remembers where he's come from, and he begins to develop this plan. And he thinks, oh, I know what I'll do. I will go back to my father. I'll go back to my father. But I've kind of let him down. I've sinned. I've distanced. I've betrayed him in a sense. I've kind of pursued other things. So I'm not going to be able to go back as a son. Wow. But he returns to father. And he's like, I'll go back and I'll just ask him if I could just be like one of his staff. He could just employ me. This is a son. I'll go back, see if dad will give me a job. Incredible. Incredible. So he goes back. But again, the Bible shows us in this moment, when this happens in this life, and he's dying of hunger, and then it says that he will go back, and it says, so in verse 20, so he got up and came to his father. There was a moment of turning in the life. Pivot point. There was a moment of turning. And he turned, and fascinating that the Bible does this for us, but in that moment of turning, it says the father saw. He saw the change. He saw the movement. He saw the redirection back to the father. And the young guy has all this plan and this approach and how he's going to, in a sense, appease his father. And he goes back to father, But Father sees him. Says he sees him at a distance. When he's turned, Father sees that moment of change, that point of response. And it says the Father went to him. The Father went to him. That's the cross. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the Father went to him. And it says this. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him. First response to this guy. The father saw him, first response, compassion for my son. Compassion for him. And Father, this is, if I can say this, and in this culture, in a sense, but for us, you look at this and you read this, and the father had compassion, and then he was pretty undignified in his response. It says the father ran. He ran. There was an eagerness of response of the father for the son, and it says, and he ran. He ran to his son to get some of this. He ran and embraced him. Embraced him. How do you get on with this? As an insight into the Father heart of God. This is God. He ran. He embraced him. And it says in another version, I don't know if it's here, it says he ran, he embraced him, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. This is a bit emotional. What a response. It's real. This is the Father heart of God. And he saw his son who had squandered everything. First responder, compassion. Compassion, embrace, a kiss of love and acceptance. This is God in action. It's incredible. This is God at the cross. He saw him, he had compassion for him, he ran to him, he embraced him, he kissed him. And he says this, my son was dead. He was dead to him in that sense, he was distant. My son was dead, but is alive again. He was lost and is found. He's found. God goes after. So here we have the younger son, and I'm really grateful the Bible doesn't leave it there. That's the younger son. Time. And we find this other fella, his older brother. Fascinating. So his older brother, he's been on the family farm the whole time. He knows the story of his younger brother. He knows what he's up to. He knows he's out there getting up to whatever he wants to get up to. He knows what's happened, and he knows he's squandered everything, and then he comes back. Older brother, he's been there the whole time. He's been there the whole time on the family farm. He's done what Father has asked him to do. He's been there. He's been available. He's served. He's done what his father has asked him. It seems like a really different story. It's not. And so his younger brother was in the field. And when he came and he heard the music and he heard the dancing and he knew there was some celebration going on and he wanted to know what it was. And so he was told that his younger brother has come back and he was angry. And he wouldn't go in to the party, he wouldn't join in, he wouldn't participate, there was no celebration. Why? Why? Was he not also looking for his brother? No. No. And it says, he was angry. He was not willing to go in. So Father, he comes out and he begins pleading with older brother. And then the older brother, he lets it out. And he says, look, for so many years, I've been serving you service. Immediately he goes there. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. I've served you well. I've kind of obeyed what you have given me to do. I've been here. I've been faithful. I've served. I've gone on mission trips. I've fed the poor, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that, and you've never given me so much as a goat to go and have a celebration with my friends. What's going on? And you think I'm going to join with you to celebrate for that one who just squandered everything? And he's like, no, no, incredible. Incredible response. And he's complaining about his younger brother. And he's like, he's devoured your wealth. He's used it for prostitutes. And for this one, you have killed the fatted calf and we're celebrating. So the older son, he was saying, I've had a life of obedience, of service, of duty, of all of these things. I've kept my nose clean and I haven't had any celebration with my friends. I've earned a party and you didn't give it to me. What a response. Well, I want us to see something in the response of the father to the older son, because it's the same response of the father to the younger son. Two completely different life experiences, if you like. But consistent through it is the heart of the father to his children. Amazing. So here we are, says this. The father says this to his older son after all this complaining and anger. And the focus of the older son is on all of his activity and all of his service and all of his good deeds and all of this. And that's been his point of response and kind of argument, if you like. I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. And then in a moment, the father completely changes the emphasis and the focus. And he says this to him in response. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. The response of the father to the older son, when the older son is focusing all over here, look at all this life of service and activity that I've given to you. What about my reward? And father comes and he's just like, but you have been with me all the time. That's the goal. That's the reward. That's the joy. That's the life in relationship with father. And incredible that the older son can live his life of dutiful service and not appreciate and engage with father in this way. In this way. He could have enjoyed that closeness all of that time. And instead of knowing that in that moment, he points to all this service and duty and activity. And father's like, he's not kind of dismissing any of that. It's all true. But the point was, but with me. But you've been with me. And this is the same point in the point of the younger son. The response of the father with the returning of the younger son is this togetherness, this embrace of the father's heart for that individual. And he runs to him and brings him in close. This is the heart of the father. And it's the same. This is the point I'm trying to get to. It's the same. One life, another life, completely different. But what God, what the father is looking for in each of us is that closeness of connection and relationship with him. And he says to his older son in this story, that you've been with me all the time. One lived a life of scandal and one a life of service, but the father's heart, I think, was the same to them both. You know, in John chapter 17, I'll finish in a minute. In John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus is praying to the father, and he's praying for his disciples, and not just for them immediately, but for all those that would come after for us. And he says, this is eternal life, that they may what? That they may know you. Eternal life, relationship with God, made possible through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's all here. So here, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. And I think that this real relational dynamic of a father-child relationship God continues to draw us into. And I think he does it increasingly all of our lives. And we begin to get increasing revelation and insight and understanding, and he draws us in, and he draws us in, and he draws us in. And what? To the Father's heart of loving embrace and relationship, where there is an ongoing awareness of that dynamic, real, living, Holy Spirit relationship with God. It is not just a kind of principles of Christianity or code of practice. It's so much more than that. And it gets right down deep into who we are, and it gives us connection with God by his Spirit because of the cross. It's amazing. It's amazing. But this is the Father heart of God, and he draws back to himself from whatever life. From whatever life. And it's wonderful. And this is God's heart for us. This is eternal life. Living a life in relationship. And there's so much more that we could go into. Maybe we will another time. But I want to continue, I think, to hold this up for us. The Father heart of God. Why? Because Christianity is essentially right relationship with God. Essentially. Essentially. And it's so easy so often to move off that ground and to get into all sorts of other stuff. But essentially, primarily. And we need to, I think, regularly kind of have this awareness at the front of our minds, of our understanding, of our responding, and to be continuing to consider and to reconsider this dynamic relationship with God. It's real, isn't it, Jan? It's real, it's alive, it's relational. It's wonderful looking around at you guys, and you just think, testimonies of this truth, testimonies of this truth, confession of the life of Jesus Christ. And it's like, guys, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. We're never going to move off this ground. This is the Father heart of God is reaching out continually in this way and drawing us in to himself. And we're changed by him in this way. Oh, I'm going to read us something. I won't need to tell you who this is, but this is a quote. And this helps to just bring together and summarize what I'm trying to point to. And really where we started from and what we were emphasizing as we were singing earlier. And he says this, there is nothing more certain in time or eternity than what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He switched the whole human race back into right relationship to God and made the basis of human life redemptive. Consequently, any member of the human race can get into touch with God now. Amen? Amen. It's true. This is what the cross has done. This is what Jesus has done for us. And it is through faith and confidence in him that we have access, and we continue to have access. Father, this morning we want to just look up again. Look up again and see your face, and see your smile, and see the kindness in your eyes and the compassion in your heart. Thank you for the way that you have gifted to us in your Son ease of access to yourself. I want to pray for us all this morning. Whatever life we've lived, wherever we find ourselves in this moment, that by your Spirit you would communicate something of your heart, not of our lives or of our responses, but of your heart. I thank you deeply for who you are, the one that you really are, the one that you continue to make known and manifest to us. We thank you. I pray that the simple, increasing awareness of yourself and your heart for men and women would make us soft towards you in all our responding, in all our life choices, in all our relationships, that there would be this undergirding reality of relationship with yourself first and foremost and always at the fore in our lives. Minister by your Spirit this morning at our point of need, and bring illumination to the reality of yourself, we pray. Jesus, only Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Amen.